Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the KGNC Agribusiness News Hour. I have an interview this morning with Justin Benavides. He is an assistant ag economics professor with Texas A&M AgriLife. Justin, I know you were recently on the program, but thanks for being back with us again.
Yeah, always good to talk to you.
Yeah, you as well. Now, I'm calling you again today because you recently actually did a presentation. This was in Randall County on December 17th. You presented some information at a Lessee workshop. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so these are workshops that are pretty commonly put on by Tiffany Dowell Lashman. She's our lawyer here in at Texas A&M AgriLife in the Department of Ag Economics, and I went down there to Canyon with her to talk about some of the benefits of leasing land as opposed to owning, what are the different types of leases, and then discuss data sources for learning how much you should charge if you choose to lease your property or how much you might think about paying if you choose to lease from someone.
So when we look at the benefits of leasing land versus owning it, what are the benefits of that for someone?
So for a landowner, you're looking at benefits like additional cash flow, help with maintaining your property. In some cases, if you aren't producing an ag product on your property, even if you live in the country, you might lose your ag valuation, so your ag use valuation. So if you are at risk of losing that and you have the opportunity to lease to someone and keep your ag use valuation for tax purposes, that's a benefit. And then there's also the opportunity to lease for hunting, which even if you're farming on your own property and you choose to lease to a hunter, that's an additional income stream on top of what you're already producing. And that's whether or not we're talking about leasing for dove hunting all the way up to, you know, deer hunting. Those are some pretty significant benefits for leasing out your property.
Now, as we mentioned there, that is for landowners, but are there any benefits for tenants to lease?
Absolutely. So the first point that we make is that land is expensive. You know, it's really, land is not cheap. If you're a producer who's starting out and you're not sure you want to accept the risk that is completely inherent with agricultural production, leasing is a good option. You know, we talk about in economics the difference in fixed cost and variable cost. Well, once you've purchased a piece of land, your rental payment is a fixed cost. And so even if you have a bad year in ag production and lose money on your ag production, whether you're running calves or if you have some sort of crop production, you still have to make your land payment. So leasing changes that to a variable cost structure. And if you decide that farming is not for you, you can get out of that production model or shrink or grow your operation as you see that you need to. So that's one benefit, is just getting past some of that expense of owning land, stuff like down payments, you know, avoiding those things. It also gives you the option to access that landowner knowledge prior to you actually purchasing property. So it gives you kind of the opportunity to try before you buy. And most of our producers, I know here in the High Plains, and probably it's true of farmers around the world, really care about their land. So once they've chosen not to produce themselves or lease it out, they still really care about what's going on that property, and they want you know, what's best for that land. So as a new farmer, someone leasing from them, you have access to institutional knowledge on that property that might help you make better decisions rather than just going in by yourself on land that has been completely separated from the previous owner. So there's a lot of benefits to tenants and to landowners, and there's some drawbacks as far as risk profiles, but overall I think leasing is a really good option to start out, especially for new and beginning producers.
All right. Now, when we're looking at a lease, are there different types of leases that we might be looking at?
Absolutely. We've got three different kinds. There's cash lease, a share lease, and then a kind of a flex hybrid lease that's a mixture of those two. So the cash is basically what we would think of as a rental payment. So same thing as if you live in a rent house or an apartment, you're renting that space, you pay the lease fee, and then you don't hear from that person until the next payment's due. So on a cash lease, that would mean that the beginning of the year, or whether that be January or beginning of the production year, you pay the landowner the lease payment, and then you don't necessarily hear from them for the rest of the year. a shared lease payment is going to be something more akin to a landowner sharing some of the expense with you. So that would be, for instance, if we're talking about fertilizer or inputs that increase your overall yield, the landowner will share some of those costs with you, and then you would also be, in turn, responsible for paying them part of the revenue from your crop production. So you're sharing in both the expense and the return on that property and basically serving as a tenant farmer for those people, and they're a little bit more involved in the operation in that sense. And the last one, that flex or hybrid lease, that's where you basically start with a set rate that can move based on some sort of indicator that you and the landowner would set. And I'm talking from the perspective of the lessee. So let's say, for instance, you're running calves on someone's property, you're leasing from them, and you choose to pay $10 an acre for grazing. Now, if that's the case, and you say, okay, but also I want to share that risk with the landowner. So the landowner says, you know, if you get high dollar value on those calves, I want some of that return to myself. But if you lose some money on those calves because prices go down, I'll help you out on that side by taking a lower payment. That's what we're talking about. So if you see calf prices go from, let's just say, $140 to $150, then your rental payment would go from $10 an acre to $11 an acre. Or if the reverse was true and they went to $130 a hundredweight, you'd see your lease payment go from $10 an acre to $9 an acre. So that's something that's called a flex or hybrid lease. And the most important thing on those flex hybrid leases is to write down in your contract exactly what the indicator is. So if I just say, if the price of calves goes up $1, then we'll change the payment I'm going to make. You need to specify, are you talking about the CME feeder cattle contract? If so, what month are you talking about? Are you talking about local auction prices? If so, which auction? It's very important to specify that, because if I can find a CME price that says something different than what your source is saying, that can cause some conflict. And the most important thing is to specify all these terms in a written down contract. And that's one of the most important things that Tiffany talks about, is making sure you write down your leases. She's actually told me she would put that on her headstone if she had one thing to put on there.
Now, there's obviously a lot to consider when we talk about leases. People might not realize that there are different types of leases, as you just discussed. For me personally, I think the hard part in this would actually be to set a rate. So do you have any advice for that?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a really common question that I personally get. You know, we have a lot of different types of land and a lot of different questions coming from different parts of the district as well as the state. So we've got a couple of different sources. The first one I'll say is easy to find is the National Agricultural Statistics Service, or NAS data, that's published every other year. So that's survey data, and it's available. The thing to know about survey data is it is always subject to what your responses are. So if you have people who are listening to me say, this is what NAS survey data says your price should be, and they go back and they are surveyed, we've kind of got a circular loop of what prices are. So survey data is always a little complicated. What I use when I'm looking is the American Society of Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers. They have a Texas Rural Land Value Trends publication that comes out every year. So right now, the most recent one that's come out is 2018. The publication for 2019 will be coming out this spring. And they have land listed out by different regions of Texas, as well as different types of use. So they list cropland, hunting land, and rangeland as well for grazing. They've got different prices.
All right. And that resource that you just mentioned, that would be good for both landowners and potential tenants, right?
Yes, you can use that resource as a starting point for negotiating factors. Obviously, the publication says rangeland for the High Plains ranges from $4 to $12 an acre. Irrigated water, good water cropland is $150 to $235 an acre. And dry land ranges from $15 to $45 an acre. So obviously, the tenant will probably want to start at the low end of that range, and the producer is going to, the landowner is going to want to start at the high end. But you can use that as a frame to begin your discussion on negotiating rates. It gives you a top end and a bottom end on sort of what the available option is and what that that land has been appraised at around the rest of the district. So what some other people might be getting in their different contracts.
All right, wonderful. And does AgriLife have any resources that are available?
Yes. So you can look at both my blog and Tiffany's blog. There's a lot of different resources on our blogs about how to find the information that I just discussed. So my blog is the Amarillo Ag Econ blog, and I've got a post on there about land values that were that came out both from ASF-MRA as well as NASS, and then Tiffany has multiple posts about riding leases, cash lease rates, and different presentations she's conducted in the past on that topic.
All right. Wonderful. Justin, thanks again for visiting with us.
Always good to talk to you.
Again, that's Justin Benavidez, Assistant Ag Economics Professor with Texas A&M AgriLife. For KGNC Agribusiness News, I'm Shannon Gray.